Live from WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. Tonight on WNUR News, what's going on with all of this campus construction? Northwestern's Jazz Ensemble's recent concert. How students are able to lock in. And this week's NU Sports Report. Those stories and more tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for swinging by. Campus is going through some changes this year as three buildings are undergoing renovations. This has made navigating campus challenging for students. Mariah Petway talks with students and Northwestern's Director of Construction to explore these challenges.
Students say that the construction on campus makes it challenging to navigate.
I would say sometimes it makes it very inconvenient when trying to get from South to North Campus, since I do have to go up north quite a few times and past like the libraries and stuff like that, and there's a lot of construction over there, so it could be a little convenient.
That's Sapphire Hunter, a McCormick freshman still learning how to navigate her way around campus. But the construction on the Jacobs Center, which will be transformed into a hub for global health and social sciences, makes it difficult.
Most of the time it's where they're building the new global studies building, and also like near Deering, near Deering in Maine. There's like construction there, and that could be like a lot.
Second year transfer student Nathaniel Jensen learned to navigate campus construction pretty well at his prior university, but he finds the construction on Northwestern's campus around the bridge that students often use to get from South to North Campus pretty frustrating.
But there's one annoyance, that's the South Bridge to the Lakeville being closed. That's kind of annoying for any events that are on the Lakeville, because I live in the South area, so like having to walk an extra, I don't know what the exact distance is, but it feels like a long way to go up to the top, to go back down the Lakeville, and then to get back to go back up top to come back down.
Northwestern is currently constructing the Norris Student Center, the Deering Library, and the Jacobs Center, which are all set to be completed by 2026. David Stone, Director of Construction at Northwestern, says that he and his team value students' concerns. He says his team is working to make it easier to move around.
I mean, we do a lot of signage. We work with the contractors to make sure there's signage showing any pathway detours or temporary closures. We would never completely cut off access to a building, but unless that building's under renovation. And the real goal is to make sure that there are safe ways for students to move north and south and east and west on campus without having to go into streets or walk in roadways.
Jaden Ordonez, a McCormick junior living off campus, would not say that the construction impacts his ability to navigate campus, but it does change the aesthetic.
I live on Chicago Avenue, which is, I live like a block or two away from Trader Joe's, a little north. And I just kind of walk straight to Tech, so I don't really interact with the construction at Norris a lot. But when I am there, it does mess up the vibe.
Hunter says that she applied to Northwestern partly for the Gothic-style Deering Library, but due to the renovations, it is closed for the school year.
It's like one of the main reasons I applied here, because I wanted like a Gothic-style library. I saw Deering, I was like, oh, Northwestern has it all, even like the Gothic library and everything. And then when I got here and they're like, oh, it's not gonna be open. I was like, wow, due to construction, I was like, wow. It was kind of like false hope.
Although the construction has slightly changed the look of the campus, Stone says maintaining a nice campus appearance is important as the renovations continue.
The reason we put that green screen on the fences is to try to improve the look of the appearance of the job sites. And it also keeps debris from blowing off of the job sites. But But that is a student experience thing that we want it to be a campus that students are not only comfortable coming to and feel safe, but that they're proud to be on our campus and proud that it's their campus.
Despite her hopes of studying in Deering this year, Hunter is somewhat hopeful about what the new construction will bring.
Yeah, I'm actually excited. It does seem like there's going to be like a lot of new cool stuff that like us students get to like enjoy. And I think it would just be beneficial for like everyone on campus. It's just like right now, it's like a mess.
Jansen is also excited, but feels some hesitancy about the outcomes of the construction.
Yeah, I'm kind of psyched. I mean, the concepts always look cool because they're concepts. They have to look cool. I think if they look even similar to what's being shown as a preview, it'll be sweet, but we'll see. There's always difficulties with construction and changes in the plan.
But Ordonez just wants the construction to be over and worries that the Cohen Lawn project, which will transform the current Norris Lawn into a patio and performance pavilion, will take away some of the campus green space.
Like, if anything, it kind of takes away some of the green space, because you're kind of looking out the window and like in unison within like the patio to the, like the green lake fill and then towards the water. Like, now they're just more concrete in the way, which, I mean, it's low bearing, so it doesn't really mess up the vibe as much. But not necessarily looking forward. I mean, it would be nice, but I think it would be nice the fact that it's over, the construction versus the actual finished product.
Although it may seem like a busy construction year on campus, Stone says that it's not the busiest he's seen. Instead, it feels like an especially active year because of where the construction is on campus.
This time we've got, you know, got the work going on in Deering, which doesn't have a lot of impacts except for the closing of the library. But then we've got Jacobs and we've got the boiler plant, which is kind of right behind on the site plan. So there is just a lot going on campus, and that center part of campus is a real pinch point. And so we work really hard to coordinate projects there just to try to make sure that we're leaving those pedestrian paths and safe access.
Hopefully students find that the few extra steps that they had to take to class were worth it once everything is complete. Music by Mariah Petway. For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Petway.
Now diving headlong in the world of arts and entertainment. On Monday night, Northwestern's Jazz Small Ensembles honored jazz legends J.J. Johnson and Cedar Walton in their fall concert. Ingrid Smith and Jessica Watts saw the show and have the music for your ears.
The Kevin Fort and Derek Gardner Small Jazz Ensembles perform music by contemporary jazz greats J.J. Johnson and Cedar Walton in the McClintock Choral and Recital Room on Monday night. The event was open to the public and members of the Northwestern community, a perfect opportunity for jazz lovers of all ages to watch and listen to some of their favorite songs. Jason Zhu, a tenor saxophonist in the Gardner Group, said small ensemble concerts are a staple for jazz majors.
This is basically jazz small ensemble concert, where as a jazz major, you're supposed to do 2 years of small ensemble. So that's like a little group of musicians, like five or six. And usually it's a rhythm section and horns. And what happens is you just do arrangements and play once or twice a quarter at concerts.
J.J. Johnson was a jazz trombonist, composer, and arranger who helped popularize the bebop style. Cedar Walton was an influential hard bop jazz pianist, bandleader, and composer who won the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master Prize in 2010. Both Johnson and Walton's careers spanned over 5 decades. Zhu added that Professor Derek Gardner helped his ensemble bring Cedar Walton's music to life.
He's been pretty instrumental. He oversees what we do, helps with our arrangements, gives us tips and tricks about what to add, what to like cut out or anything like that. He chooses beforehand every year which artists and composers that we're going to be playing.
Benin jazz guitar freshman Octavio Escamilla said he came to the concert to support his friends and hear some innovative music.
It's really interesting music. It's a great way for people that are new to jazz to experience it for the first time.
One of the people who have been opened up to jazz through being in concerts is violinist and usher Kaylin Chung.
I always think every time I see a jazz concert that the playing is really cool and really amazing, and this time was no different. I really enjoyed the performance.
According to Chung, being in concerts foster a diverse community of music lovers.
I think that attending events like this is great for building the community for classical music, and also it just gives a greater appreciation for classical music, and I think it's just very underrated.
McCormick Professor Emeritus Joseph Schoeffer said he's attended dozens of student jazz concerts throughout his 5 decades at Northwestern. This time, he showed up in keyboard socks, a gift from a local jazz radio station.
I come to all the jazz concerts, the student concerts, because they're very good, they play interesting stuff, and they kind of scan the space of contemporary jazz.
Schoeffer was familiar with the music of J.J. Johnson and Cedar Walton before the concert, but he said these ensembles offered a fresh take on jazz classics.
I've known Laura for, 50 years, and I don't like it. But this is a really cool arrangement. It was a very slow arrangement, and then it got fast, and it kind of grabbed your attention. So I come away thinking, now my attitude toward that piece of music is completely different.
Laura is the face in the misty night. Footsteps that you hear.
The Kevin Fort Ensemble included William Lewis on trumpet, Eli Sullivan on alto saxophone, Ikenna Ize on trombone, Evan Steinkohler on piano and vocals, and Calvin Simmers on drums. The Derek Gardner Ensemble featured Zoo, Jack Beckner on trumpet, Brandon Harper on piano, Dante Villasenor on bass, and Ethan Bausma on drums. Over the years, Schoeffer has watched various student musicians grow. After these small ensembles performed, he had some advice.
So I don't know the players, but I know their faces. And tonight, what I wanted to do was go up to the first group and say, you guys are very good. You could afford to smile more, because I bet you're having a good time. I'm having a good time, and I really want to share it with you.
More small jazz ensembles will perform on October 8th, followed by the Northwestern University Jazz Orchestra on the 31st. For WNUR News, I'm Ingrid Smith.
And I'm Jessica Watts.
But we're not done yet. Our oddity story is next. Have you ever wondered how the person sitting next to you in Maine is able to stay focused?
It's week 5 at Northwestern, which means, let's be real, we're on week 3 of our painfully staggered, never-ending midterm season. Maybe you're holding up in mud for the first time this quarter. Maybe you're finishing up your first round of midterms, ready to hang out with your friends just to find they're nowhere in sight. Wherever you are, whatever you're up to, there's always one thing to turn to: music. Instead of feeling stressed, depressed, and alone as we trudge through our way through the slog of exams, papers, and stories, we decided to focus on what unites us. Here's a look into the inner ears of our Northwestern students as they lock in and listen up this fall.
Crazy, but it's like a mixture of hip hop, like funk fusion, like psychedelic rock, and whatever, random stuff.
That was McCormick freshman Shay Smith. For him, there's no method to the music madness. It's all vibes. Weinberg freshman Sachin Chawla had a similar vibes-based approach to studying, admittedly with less variety.
Drake's my favorite artist of all time for everything.
Although both Smith and Chawla were more inclined to study to their favorite songs, they also shared the same caveat.
If I'm studying something that I have to read, like Spanish language, I'll listen to something like softer, that usually with no lyrics, like classical. I like Pokemon music, I don't know if you heard. It's very good.
If I'm reading something, then I probably don't want to, like, that would be more prone to use, like, classical, because sometimes lyrics can interfere with, like, reading.
While listening to classical music may seem less fun than more modern songs, there is a scientific reason to do so. According to a study published in Learning and Individual Differences, students who listen to classical music while they study tend to perform better on exams than students who don't. Chawla has seen the benefits of this.
I think it does help me listen and kind of comprehend more, because then I associate, you know, the two, like the song and what I'm studying, and it helps me remember it.
But for some students, just listening to music in the background doesn't quite do the trick. McCormick senior Fatima Almanjar has a tried and true study hack: screaming lyrics at the top of her lungs.
I overthink, and then if I don't hear music, then, and I'm working, I will think of something else, so I would rather be singing the song while working.
Her current favorite scream song? A 15-minute long Iraqi song called Ana Walila, a ballad about the singer's lover, Lila, who left him for a richer man.
Every time he screams, I'm screaming and like doing my math and everything. I'm like, yes, differentiation.
Whether scream singing, shuffling liked songs, or putting on Mozart's Requiem in D minor, most students agreed music was crucial to getting in the grind set. But as a good stats major would tell you, in every dubiously collected set of data, there's an outlier.
When like it comes to times where I have to lock in, I listen to comedy specials.
That was McCormick freshman Diego Figueroa. Unlike some students who have an anything-goes approach to study music, he has a carefully calibrated system.
When I was in high school, to do math homework, I would listen to heavy metal. And then when I would have to do like science, I would put on something like Alex G. But when midterms or finals come around, comedy is always the way to go.
His favorite special, Safety Patrol of Life by David Williamson. Always a guaranteed laugh.
It was the first day of fifth grade safety patrols. And if anybody
I listen to the jokes, like I laugh sometimes, but you know, it's just better.
Laughs or not, joy was a central factor for students when choosing what to add to their queue.
I listen to basically anything that will lift me up so I don't feel depressed studying.
It just makes me like happier and thus more likely to do my work.
Maybe that's the key. Instead of maximizing our productive output, we should focus on finding something to listen to that keeps the load light and maybe, just maybe, helps us find some joy. For WNUR News, I'm Tilly Freed.
This week had the full range of emotions for Northwestern sports fans. From devastating losses to dominant wins, from nothing in the win column to number one in the nation, I have got all you need to know. Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. Let's start off with the nation's number one ranked team, Northwestern Field Hockey. Now 15-0 on the season, the Cats had another dominant week, complete with a 7-0 victory against Stanford and an 11-1 victory against UC Davis. With her 4 goals and 3 assists over those 2 games, Ashley Sessa earned another Big Ten Player of the Week award, her 2nd of the season. The team will travel to Ann Arbor on Friday for a 3 p.m. matchup with Michigan. Northwestern football had a tough time at home this weekend as Wisconsin came to town looking to net their 5th win of the season. With 2 non-existent offenses in the first quarter, the game was deadlocked at 0. However, as the second quarter rolled around, Northwestern's defense rolled over, allowing Wisconsin to score 2 touchdowns. After 1 missed and 1 blocked field goal attempt, Northwestern finally got on the board in the third quarter with a field goal, but it was too little, too late. Complete with a fourth quarter safety, Wisconsin took a 23-3 win. Northwestern's volleyball team has had a gauntlet of a schedule in conference play. But with 2 unranked teams at Welsh Ryan over the past week, they had a chance to recover. The first matchup was with Iowa and ended up in a Cats victory over 4 sets. However, when UCLA came to town on Sunday, Northwestern went down in 3 sets. The first two hard-fought, ranging well over the typical 25 points. By the third, however, the Cats were gassed and lost convincingly. This moves them to 4-12 overall and 2-6 in conference play. And their tough schedule will not get any easier as they are set for a road contest with number 15 Minnesota on Wednesday. For the first time in over 8 years, Northwestern men's soccer took down the Michigan Wolverines. This came on the back of last year's Big Ten tournament, where Michigan ended Northwestern's season. Friday's story, however, was a 1-0 win for the Cats against the number 18 Wolverines. The one goal of the game was scored by sophomore Tyler Glassberg. With this win, Northwestern moves to 8-5-1 on the season and 2-4-1 in conference play. The women's soccer team was also up against Michigan, but they were on the road. It was a convincing win for the Cats on the back of 3 goals from Emma Phillips, Alex Fallon, and Kennedy Roche. This marked their first win in conference play and 6th overall on the season. When they went northwest to East Lansing, however, things did not go as well. Their Sunday afternoon matchup with Michigan State ended in a 0-1 loss after a Bella Najera goal. Their final regular season matchup of the year will be in Urbana-Champaign on Sunday against the Fighting Illini. Down in Peoria this weekend, Bradley University held the Bradley Pink Classic, where Northwestern Cross Country took home the win. The team was led by senior Ava Earle, who finished first overall, and junior Maddie Whitman, who placed third overall, both in the women's red race. The team finished with an overall score of 44 points. The team will be back in action next on November 1st for the Big Ten Championships. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News. Taking a look into the headlines. John Kerry came to campus Tuesday to speak to a sold-out Conn auditorium. The former Secretary of State talked about his current work on climate mitigation. This evening closed with a Q&A largely covering the efforts that young people can make toward climate repair. In Greater Evanston, the city is mourning the death of Dolores Holmes, a former 5th Ward Council member. She also notably spent decades as Family Focus's director. Due to violations of consumer protection laws, Apple and Goldman Sachs will have to pay $89 million in fines. These fines are applied to their joint credit card business, Apple Card. Austria has its farthest right leadership in over 7 decades, and it's causing trepidation among allies. This comes on the back of Taylor Swift concerts being canceled due to terrorism concerns. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news, updates, and reports, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Sophia Kesa, and our reporters are Mariah Petway, Ingrid Smith, Jessica Watts, Tilly Freed, Gabby Schell, and myself, Gabe Shumway. For all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast on Friday, October 15th at 6 p.m. For now, back to scheduled programming.